Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're here as we are meeting together. We're continuing our series, We Are CalTAP. And in the second half of this series, we've been talking about our core values. What are the things that drive what we do? We've talked about Christ-like compassion, that view of looking at others and seeing the needs and being moved by them. Last week, we talked about irrational generosity, which is giving that doesn't make sense. It's taking those needs, once we see them, to not just be moved by them, but then to do something to meet those needs. And so, as we're doing this, as we're walking through this together, we're coming to a third core value today that we want to talk about. And so, to introduce this core value, I need someone who's willing to be a volunteer for me, who's got a good ear, okay? I need a volunteer, someone. Come on, don't make me come down there and pick you, okay? Don't make me. Come on, I need an adult. Come on. Okay, I'm going to pick somebody. You don't want to be that person. All right, come on. Nobody? Really? All right, so Steve, yeah, thanks. I saw two people volunteered you. So come on up here, Steve. And while Steve's coming up here, give him a hand. I remember one time in small group, we played a game with music or something, and he was really bad at it. So this could be interesting. What? That music game? I know. Okay, so now you guys can play along with this. And hopefully it works. Here's how the game goes. It's called Name That Sound. Okay? It's really simple. Name That Sound. We're going to play just a brief clip. I want you just to listen and see if you can identify that sound. We're going to see if they can do it as well. So, okay, turn it up and let's play the first clip. That's when you pocket dialed me. No, not quite. No? Don't have it?
No.
Okay, let's show that clip. Let's see if anybody else got this. Who got it? All right, we got one. Wait, you saw it earlier. Okay. All right, okay. So, okay, let's try the next one. Okay, we got another one. Let's give this one a try. Going with a horse.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else going with a horse? Okay, let's see it. All right, we'll give you that. A horse and buggy. Looks like the buggy's about ready to fall over there.
Okay.
All right, okay, so we'll give you that one. Okay, we got another one. Here we go.
Oh, that's a car horn.
More specific, car horn. How many of your car horns sound like that?
Yeah, no. From like the 50s.
The 50s. Yeah. All right. Now this video is real short and not real. It's pretty grainy, so let's give this one a try. It's actually a 1914 Model T, so close 50s. That's a long time ago, right?
50s.
A long time ago. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here we go. Let's try another one. We got two more. All right, a rotary phone. Very good. How many of you had one of those? Yeah, good. All right, last one. Man, you're on a roll. That's three in a row. Last one. So everyone only remembers the first one and the last one. You already got the first one
60%.
Wrong. So if you get this one wrong, that's all everyone's going to remember. So last one.
Sorry.
A school bell. What do you think? All right, let's give it a try. Pretty good, though. You know, let's give Steve a hand. Let's give Steve a hand. All right, now, let me ask you this. What do all of those things have in common? They're old. What else? Noisy, no longer used. They're things from the past. I mean, everyone always uses the word old, and that's just so unkind of a word. They're vintage. Okay, they're vintage things. All right, but here's the deal. They are things that have changed, haven't they? They're things that have changed over the years. And the reality is things do change as we go. And many times, I'm going to say this. I believe that when things change, that's a good thing. All right, would you agree with me? Would you agree with me? It's a good thing that transportation has changed. How many of you rode your horse and buggy in this morning? Okay, how many of you wish you would have ridden your horse and buggy in this morning? Okay, now here's what's interesting. Some of you raise your hand. You're going to feed that horse every day, clean up after it every day, drive it every day. Things have changed. What else has changed? Not only transportation has changed, but communication has changed, hasn't it? Telephones have changed. How many of you have one of these in your pocket? Come on. Yeah, we have these. And we say, oh, I don't like this change. If I could only get rid of this one. How many of you say that? You don't like your technology. None of you ever say you don't want your phone. You're sick and tired of your phone. We say it all the time. I do. But you know what? The moment I leave the house and I can't find my phone, I'm like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I want my phone. Okay, so I may not like it, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm tied to it. It's like, I have to have it. I need to know. I need to stay connected. Technology changes. We did this instead. But if you want to do something fun, YouTube, you need to look up, not right now, kids react to technology. And when you get there, you may find something called elders react to technology too. There's two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. It's fascinating to watch. The one I watched was kids react to Walkmans, Sony Walkmans. They had no clue what it was. It was really interesting to watch and to see that. What else changes? What I say, people change, right? Families change. Our ages change. For some of us, we're very aware of that. Jobs change. Priorities change. And even schedules change, don't they? I would say churches change. And change isn't necessarily a bad thing. Ultimately, the point is this. Life changes whether we like it or not. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that that is the truth. Life changes. So you have life changes over here. So I got thinking about that. What about the other side? So what doesn't change? And so I did some research. And I was searching on the internet. What things don't change? And the reality is there is very little that doesn't change. Very little. Here are a couple of good answers I found to that. Our past doesn't change. History, although maybe our perspectives on it do. Another thing, definition of things doesn't change. Although words and their meanings change, the actual definition, here's what that means. A dog is a dog no matter what you call it. It just is. All right? So the definition of things. Scientific laws, gravity doesn't change. How many of you are glad that gravity doesn't change? Yeah, you wake up in the morning, oh, wait, how did I get up here? You know? Scientific laws don't change. Ultimately, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that there's really only two categories of things that don't change. Number one is God. God does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this, I, the Lord, do not change. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, who does not change like shifting shadows. God doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change, and that's a really good thing. That it doesn't change, that he does not change. So God doesn't change. There's one other category that I would say that there is no change, and that is truth. Truth does not change. And I would put underneath that, I would put history underneath that. I would put the laws underneath that. I would put, so truth, laws, history, definitions, things that, there are things that are true whether we believe it or not, right? If you don't believe in gravity, does that mean it ceases to be true? No, you're just wrong. Okay, so it doesn't, there are things that don't change. And under that category of truth, something that I would put in the category of truth that doesn't change is God's word does not change. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says this. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. And John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God and truth do not change. And at the intersection of the truth that God and truth do not change, and the fact that life changes, where those two collide, is where this third core value rests. We've said that our mission here at CalTab is to help people take their next step on the journey to Jesus. That everyone's on a journey to Jesus and we're all going. And I would say this, that on that journey, every journey is unique. Every journey is different. Every journey, dare I say, is constantly changing. But how do we help people who live lives in a constant change and constant flux and bring the truth, the unchanging truth of God's word to their ever-changing lives? It's through the core value, of engaging relevance. Engaging relevance. Where the fact of where we're trying to connect truth to life. You see, here's the truth. Life changes. Truth doesn't. Connecting them must. Today we're kind of talking more philosophically. This is really a philosophical discussion in many ways. What is our core value? What drives us? It's this truth. We want to be engagingly relevant in our world. In an ever-changing world where life is constantly changing. Truth does not change. And how do we bring them together? How do we connect them? And I would submit to you that as a church, we have to connect them by the church being willing to change, being willing to adjust, to be relevant and engaging in our relevance. Here's some other ways to think about it. You might say this, methods change, but the message doesn't. Or how about this? Marry the mission, date the model. As we think about engaging relevance, I know we get here, we start thinking about, okay, so what's Pastor Rob's end game here? What's he trying to change? What's he want to do? That's not the point. I have no plan. We don't have a specific plan. There's nothing that we have coming down the road that we're saying, hey, let's preach this message to set them up for. No, I'm saying this needs to be one of our core values. This needs to be something that we become comfortable with. We don't always like change, but change happens and change is good many times. And the reality is, because life is changing, we have to, as the church, we have to figure out how to take this unchanging message of God, this truth, to an ever-changing world. Did you know? Yeah, you know, we sit here and we talk about this. You know, and I'm kind of talking about this philosophical idea of change. But did you know that the church, that CalTab has changed over the years? It's 73 years this June that CalTab has first started meeting. June is now. 73 years this month that CalTab first met. Do you know that since CalTab first started meeting, we've met in three different locations? The church began meeting down here on Main Street in the fire hall. And that was after they did some initial Bible studies in homes, but the first official meeting place was the fire hall in Vestal. After that, they purchased land at the corner or in the area of where Charles Street and Vandervoort is. Right down here, if you go like straight toward the high school, you'll kind of run right through it. And then eventually the church ended up here on Main Street. Three different locations. And once the church got here, we built a building. And you know what? Since that building was built, there's been at least four different expansions of that building. I'm not sure if it's four or five. I think one of them, they expanded on both the front and the back at the same time, but I get confused. So there's four or five different expansions of this building. Things change. The church has changed. Here's another thing that I found when I was doing some historical study. Did you know that Caltab has had three different official names in its history? We are Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. That's what we've been known as for the longest of times. But prior to that, the church was simply Calvary Tabernacle. And prior to that, when the church first started, I know a few of you may be aware of this, but do you know the original name of the church you're a part of? Christian Cheer Tabernacle. How many are glad that the name's changed? Okay. Why? Because it's like, that doesn't make any sense. That seems so foreign. That seems so irrelevant. So change sometimes happens to help keep us relevant. In the history of the church, now I don't have the specifics. There have been seven lead pastors, but there have been at least 16 different pastors that have served in this church at one level or another. Maybe probably more. There were 16 that I was aware of as I did some of my recollection. And I found this out. The very first pastor, his salary was 75 to 90% of the weekly offerings. That's what he received as his salary. And I'm thankful that that's changed, because the weekly offerings were about $10 a week. We may think, wow, that's a lot, but when you look at it, it really wasn't. The truth is this: change is inevitable, change happens, and it's necessary for life and growth. And so we need to embrace engaging relevance. Engaging relevance, this really focuses on how we communicate the truth of God's Word to an ever-changing world. Now we sit here, and the reality is, I know there are lots of thoughts going through different people's minds. Oh, if we would only change this. Oh, if we could only change that. Oh, if we could only... Let's not focus on the specifics. Let's just think about the core value. Being willing to be engagingly relevant. To understand that life changes, truth doesn't, but connecting them must. So what does it mean to be engaging? The definition of engaging means to be attractive, pleasing, and agreeable. So, here's the point. We want to be engaging with people because we want to be attractive, agreeable. You may have the most important message for somebody, a life-changing message for somebody, and we do. But if you are not engaging, if instead of being attractive, pleasing, and agreeable, you are repulsive, objectionable, and disagreeable, no one's gonna listen. Right? The Bible tells us that the message of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, is foolishness and offensive to those who do not believe. Why do we have to make it impossible to hear? And so many times we want something a certain way and we become disagreeable and offensive ourselves. And nobody's going to listen to the truth of God's word if we are not engaging. So we need to be engaging. We need to paint God's word in a certain way. And relevance. Here's what relevance means. Relevance means we're going to answer the questions people are asking. We want to address the issues that people are facing. We want to tackle the problems that people are trying to handle, and we want to talk to the tensions that people are feeling. That's what it means to be relevant. That we meet people where they are. Now let me say something. I am not saying that we have to make the Bible relevant. The Bible is relevant because the Bible is truth. And truth doesn't change. But how we connect, how we communicate the message, the truth, matters. We have to know how to communicate the truth so that people will listen to us. The coolest are here today. I could have John come up here and start talking to us in French, and I would guess that less than a dozen of us would have any clue what he's talking about. And he could give the most incredible gospel message, and if nobody understood it, it was a waste of all of our time. That's what relevance means. How does our community hear us? How do we hear each other? The key is we don't want to make the Bible boring and make the Bible seem irrelevant to people. Because I'm going to tell you this. We no longer live in a culture that has God and the Bible as a foundation for it. There is not a shared assumption that this is truth like there was not many years ago. So we've got to start from a different place. We've got to get the truth to people in different ways. Again, and it was interesting, in first service I was talking to them about this very same thing. I preached the same message. But I'm guessing that our thought processes in the two services may have been a little bit different. Because sometimes they sit there and say, hey, wait, but don't change X. And we might sit here and say, yes, let's change A, B, C through Z, double Z, triple Z. And we miss the point. You see, methods can change. The message doesn't. Does that mean we change every method? Does that mean we do whatever the next big thing is? No. We have to figure out who we are. We have to figure out who our community is. And then we have to relate those two together to reach them. And this isn't just simply about reaching new people. This is also for us sitting here today. How do we connect? How do we help each other see my life is changing? Some of you, your lives are changing faster than you even realize. Relationships have changed. Jobs have changed. Some of you are finishing schooling and you're facing the real world, and that's a new change. Maybe your relationship with your spouse is on the fritz and that's changing. And you're like, how in the world does the Bible help me? And we've got to be able to pull those two together in a way that's engaging and relevant for people. I'm going to say this. I'd like you to just open your Bibles here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Today, like I said, today's more philosophical. It's more of a foundational message. But I think that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, the Apostle Paul shows us how changing biblical methods, or changing our methods, is a biblical thing. Being willing to change how we do what we do is a biblical expectation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Begins, it says this, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." The Apostle Paul is what I would call the greatest chameleon Christian of all time. He was willing to change at a moment's notice to share the gospel with people. And the gospel isn't just for salvation, but it's for life. He's willing to do whatever he had. And you have to understand that this passage is not talking about Paul being a hypocrite. This is about a consistent Paul continually taking the truth of God's word and relating it to the people's lives that he was talking to, whoever that was, wherever he was, to help them understand the message of the gospel, that the gospel changes lives. Are we willing to change our methods to spread the gospel? Are we willing to change our methods to help people better connect? Are we willing to change our methods to see people grow? Are we willing to change our methods to remain relevant in an ever-changing world? You know, I grew up in a church a lot like Caltab. And it was the kind of church who my dad... He was like one of the ushers, and we closed the church almost every week because my dad talked to anybody for as long as you'll listen. And so we were at church every time the doors were open, and we were there after the doors closed sometimes. But I remember in that church, it was like, you know what? Fellowship was going over to the Hartman's house after church and hanging out and having two guys pizza. The best, greasiest pizza you can imagine. And we did that, and people hung out in different things. But the reality is, our culture changes. Things change. You know what? We used to bring van loads of kids for our it wasn't Awana, but it was our Awana program. And different things, and everything is constantly changing. But it's different today. What are we willing to do to reach this generation? You see, this core value of engaging relevance will impact everything that we do. It ought to impact our preaching. As I was working on this message, I was reading some books again on preaching and just thinking about, okay, how... The messages I preach are God's word, and they are truth. And that's what makes them good messages. Okay? Let's just start there. But the reality is, if I am boring and dry and give nobody a reason to listen, it's not going to make a difference. If people don't understand how the truth of God's word relates to their lives when they walk out the doors, why come? I need to find out, what are the questions people are asking? What are the issues that they're facing? What are the tensions that people have? And how does God's word answer those? Now, the thing is, I start with God's word. And so what I do is I study God's word, and I'm like, okay, here's what God's word says. Okay, now what does that truth speak to in people's lives? And figure out where that takes us. Jesus was incredible with this. The woman at the well. He's like, "Hey, can I get a drink of water?" And she's like, "Why are you talking to me?" And the guy talking about water and thirsty, and Jesus took something and something that was difficult for her and every day, and he related it to the truth that he was the living water. And he shared the gospel with her. That's what our messages need to be like. And honestly, I have to continually work at it, because some weeks life gets busy, life gets crazy, and it's easy to just rest on, hey, I know what the text says and I can figure it out, and I just tell you what the text says and say, maybe God will do something with that. And I have abdicated my responsibility to follow through and lead people to see the relevance of God's word in their lives. You know, engaging relevance affects our worship styles. Uh-oh. Is he really going to go there? I went there in both services. You see, the thing is, we all have our preferences, don't we? Some of us want more drums. Some of us want more organs. Some of us want this or that, or more of this or more of that, or this. It's not about what I want. It's about what do we need. What will draw us in to the throne room of God to worship and glorify Him? I may not like the music, but what do the words say? That's the truth. The accompaniment isn't the truth. Think about this. When's the last time you heard us sing, "Jesus loves me" in church? Let me guess. When you were either serving in or you were attending preschool. Right? "Jesus loves me, this I know." Great song, isn't it? Wonderful truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't we sing it here? Because it's not relevant. The way we sing it, that song, if you brought a friend with you and we sang that song, and then we sang, "If you're happy and you know it, say amen," which I'm not sure that we would sing that song, but you'd be like, "Oh my word, there are a bunch of crazies here." Because it's not the right context. The right context is in our preschool. So you know what? We sing other songs that talk about the love Jesus has for us and how we can be convinced of that, because that's what engages and draws people in. So it affects our worship styles. It affects our activities. We don't do door-to-door evangelism anymore. You might say, "Oh, that was the greatest thing." Why don't we do that here in our culture? Because I want to see a show of hands. How many of you get real excited when two guys in nice white shirts come and knock on your door? Probably the only person who's going to raise their hand is Paul Williams, but he won't, because he knows I don't want people to raise their hands. He loves it when they show up. You know, why? It doesn't relate to our culture anymore. It would be like, whoa, builds walls. We say, hey, you know what? We want you to pray, invest, and invite. Go meet your neighbors, and you have them over for dinner, and then share the gospel with them once you get to that point. Because we want to be engaging and relevant with them. It impacts our use of technology. You know what? We have a website. We have Facebook. We have Instagram. I don't know if we have a church Snapchat or not. Probably not. But the reality is, we need to figure out how to engage in our technology. Because there are people who will engage with us, engage with the truth of God's word, but will never step foot in this room. If we want to take an unchanging truth to a changing world, we may have to do it through this. And we need people to help with that. We need people to say, yes, that's me, and I want to help. I want to see us reach people with the gospel. The reality is this. Most of us, we all feel most comfortable in a church style where we personally have grown the most. In a church style, and I don't know about you, have you ever gone to like, you've gone back to your home church, or you've there's been like a maybe it was an anniversary church thing, and you went back, and they took the style of that service, and they took it back to when you were a kid, or you were a person young in the faith, and you're just like, wow, that was so cool. We're all nostalgic, aren't we? Sometimes we like a measure of nostalgia. But to be engagingly relevant, we can't live in nostalgia. We all would love, maybe not all, many of us might love to take a ride in a horse and buggy. But none of us want to own that and make that our primary means of transportation. Life changes. Truth doesn't. Connecting them must. We've got to figure out where people are and help connect them to the gospel. I think it's awesome that today's message is ended with communion. What greater example of the unchanging message than communion? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, so that we might have life eternal with him. His body given for us, his blood shed on the cross, represented in the cup, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The message doesn't change. But I'm going to say, thank God, our method of doing communion has. Because remember, the first communion, everybody's laying on the ground. They shared one cup and one piece of bread that everybody touched. This isn't the only way to do communion. You can do communion different ways. We did that in that last series, remember? Some of us were like, oh man, yeah, we did communion like 6 weeks in a row. And we did it like kind of weird ways. That made me feel uncomfortable. You want to know something? There were other people who came to me after some of those uncomfortable days and said, that was the best communion service I've ever been a part of. It finally, like, it refreshed it. It made it real. It made it what I thought it should be. Because it took the never-changing message of the gospel and took it to a different mode of communication that changed, that helped us to better connect the truth to our changing lives. We want to be engagingly relevant, remembering that life changes, truth doesn't, but connecting the two must change for us to remain relevant in our world today.